It's the perfect season to curl up by the fire while your slow cooker makes dinner for you. And with crockpots firmly back in style, we're looking for more than just a way to make meat tender these days. So why not scout out the rich international flavors of Morocco, Italy, and Greece for slower cooker cuisine? And this hour, we get inspired about cooking slow. I'm Veronica Rickert with you today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour is Michelle Chicolone. She's an award-winning food writer and the author of 17 cookbooks, including The Italian Slow Cooker, The French Slow Cooker, and her latest out this week, it's called The Mediterranean Slow Cooker. She is known as the slow cooker queen, so this is your chance to ask your most burning slow cooker questions at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, and you can send your email to talk@wpr.org and keep up and check out the recipes on our Facebook page at The Veronica Rickert Show. And Michelle Chicolone, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Veronica.
Well, it's great to have you. And tell us, when did you first get into cooking with crockpots?
Really, it wasn't all that long ago that I got really into cooking with crockpots. I had had a crockpot many, many years ago, and I really didn't use it very much. And then about five years ago, I read that they were once again becoming popular. So I took a look at what was it that people were interested in about that good old-fashioned crockpot. And I realized that, number one, the crockpots have come a long way since the early days when they, you know, just had an on and off switch pretty much. And secondly, the crockpots were an excellent way to save money. And with people eating home more and caring more about what they were eating, they were something that working moms, working people of all kind could really rely on for a delicious and simple meal without costing too much and taking too much time.
Well, I got to ask you, is it still okay to say crock pot? When I know that you see slow cooker a lot. And when I say crock pot, I kind of feel like I'm insulting somebody. It sounds like an old school insult.
Actually, no. It's a brand name for the
rival company.
So that, you know, I know people think that I'm being snooty if I say crock pot, but slow cooker rather, because slow cooker is the generic name, you know, like Kleenex and tissues
or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's okay to say crock pot.
It's okay to say crock pot. I'm sure the rival people would be more than happy to hear you say that.
As long as we don't look uncool, that's what matters, right? So you talked about the benefit of making food in a slow cooker, and I guess it's that you can it's cost effective and it's time effective. What does it do to the food, though? What is its special magic?
I think that it really ekes out the flavor of foods that are difficult to cook. I'm thinking of all of those tough, bony meats, for example, or dried beans that they require patience. They require time to bring out the best flavor in foods such as those root vegetables. But with your crock pot, the crock pot does all the work. Your slow cooker does all the work for you, and it's just a matter of applying time to it. So you can buy an inexpensive cut of beef, let's say, instead of purchasing a sirloin for the family, which is a completely different thing, of course. But you can make a wonderful beef stew instead with some chuck, or you could make meatballs that you might not have time to make on the stovetop. But if you assemble them and put them in the crock pot, they come out wonderfully delicious and full of flavor. I think that is its greatest asset, that it takes things that are not so easy to cook on the stovetop and makes them so much better.
Well, I am a recent convert. I haven't cooked much in our slow cooker yet. It's still sitting in its box, but we did borrow one, and we made some beans that started out as dried beans instead of canned, which is what we normally get. And the difference was out of this world. I felt like they really absorbed the flavors. And
exactly.
I felt strangely euphoric just seeing them sitting on the counter cooking away, and I wasn't doing anything. Well, it made me feel good.
It's an accomplishment without effort. So what could be bad about that? I love that feeling.
So as far as vegetarians go, what does the crock pot have to offer? You talked a lot about meat, and that's usually what we hear is that it makes meat tender. Mm-hmm. But is there vegetarian fare that's just as usable?
Yeah. For example, in the book, I have a wonderful Moroccan-style tagine made with different root vegetables. And it's very it has herbs and spices more than herbs and a beautiful golden color. And it's a delicious dish to serve with couscous. It really does wonders with those root vegetables that, again, take a lot of time to cook on the stovetop or in the oven. It's a delicious stew to serve this time of year. You could serve something like that over a couscous or over rice. And it's a pleasure to have a pot full of that to come home to at night. And for someone who's not a vegetarian, wants to serve a meat dish, something like that can make a nice side dish. So it's great for root vegetables. It's great for cooking beans, as we were discussing earlier, all different kinds of beans. You can make bean stews. You can make beans as a side dish. And I do a lot of excellent soups with beans, with chickpeas, with fava beans. And they're very typical of Mediterranean cooking. And there's a lot of variety there as well. There's a wonderful recipe in the book I'm thinking of doing this weekend, in fact, for winter squash with chickpeas. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely delicious soup. The colors are gorgeous. It's thick and hearty, but it's not very fattening, and it's very good for you. So that's great for vegetarians as well.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And your new book, The Mediterranean Slow Cooker, you know, it takes slow cooking from a different angle, because I think our old ideas about cooking in a crock pot are that you're going to be doing your basic sort of American chili, or you're going to be doing a pot roast. So what's really different about this is you're taking in international cuisine here and showing that it can be done in a slow cooker with all of these rich spices and layering of flavors like cinnamon and smoked paprika, and that you can branch out a little bit there.
Yeah, my idea was, well, you know, a slow cooker, basically what it is an electric pot for braising. That's what we're doing most of the time when we make a pot roast or beef stew, or stew of any kind. We're braising the food. And so the slow cooker just moderates the heat and watches over it so we don't have to. And that's what I love about it. So that with that in mind, I was able to adapt it to so many dishes that normally cook slowly on top of the stove. And there's no reason why we can't use all of these wonderful flavors and different ingredients. I love chili. Everyone loves chili. And it's a great use for your slow cooker. But on the other hand, there's so many other wonderful things that we could do if we just try.
Well, and one area that you don't think about often is dessert. Yeah. And this is a recipe that's up on our Facebook page right now. It's coffee caramel flan from Spain. And there's a picture of it there that looks just delicious. And I guess dessert and slow cookers are not mutually exclusive. How does this one work? Can you walk us through this recipe?
Yeah, sure. It is absolutely delicious. I love to do anything that is based on eggs and custard does really well in the slow cooker, because the slow cooker, the temperature stays steady and even, and the food doesn't dry out. So, you know, if you were to do a flan in the oven, let's say, you would probably want to do it in what they call a bain-marie, which is a large pan, yeah, exactly, filled with water, and that would create a steamy atmosphere in the oven.
Which is always kind of a pain. Whenever I see the water bath, I kind of groan and look for another recipe.
Yes. Well, this also cooks in a water bath, but in the slow cooker, it's a lot easier to manage. You don't have to transfer that big pot of a pan of steaming hot water to the oven. And so what I do is, for the coffee caramel flan, is I make my caramel first on top of the stove by combining the sugar and water, and you cook it until it and swirl the pan as you're cooking until the sugar's dissolved. And then when it starts to turn brown around the edge, you just leave the pan alone, swirl it very gently until the color is evenly caramelized and the sugar's nice and brown. And then you pour that into a 6-cup souffle dish. Now, I should point out that all of the recipes in the Mediterranean slow cooker, and of course in all of my other slow cooker books as well, are based on using a large size slow cooker, 5.5 to 7 quart slow cooker, which is now a very popular size and one that I highly recommend as being the most useful, even for a small family. So a 6-cup souffle dish will fit nicely into a large slow cooker. And then once you've got your caramel in the pan, you mix together some evaporated milk and sweetened condensed milk, add eggs and some egg yolks, and a blend of espresso powder with a little bit of water to make a slurry. And you just stir that all together. You pour it on top of the caramel in the souffle dish. You put it into the slow cooker with some hot water around the souffle dish in the slow cooker. It doesn't have to be boiling hot, just hot tap water is fine. And you cover the pot and you cook for about 2 or 2.5 hours until a knife inserted in the center comes out clean, you know, that typical test for caramel, for custard dishes. And then it's ready. You take it out and you let it chill. And as it chills, the caramel sauce loosens up once again and gets turns into a beautiful syrup. And you just flip this over onto your plate, and it's automatically surrounded by that gorgeous caramel syrup. And it's absolutely a delicious dessert. As you can see, it's all stuff you probably have in your pantry. It's nice to have a can of evaporated milk and sweetened condensed milk on hand. And it's just eggs and sugar and espresso powder. And that's it. And so it's very, very simple to make. And it's a lovely, elegant dessert. You could serve it with whipped cream, but I think it's plenty sweet and delicious just as it is.
What I like about it is that it looks beautiful when it comes out. I mean, there's there are some slow cooker recipes out there. There's not a ton, but for desserts. And from what I've seen online as I troll around a bit, is that they look kind of gloppy at the end. The presentation is not so stunning. I'm sure they taste good. But in this, what comes out looks beautiful, too.
Yeah, and the secret to that is the fact that I've cooked it in its own dish. So that way you can turn it out. If you cooked it directly in the insert of the slow cooker, as you might with, let's say, a bread pudding or even rice pudding, you might cook directly into the insert. It's going to look gloppy. But then you could put it out on the plate and, you know, scoop it out onto your plate and make something very, very beautiful. But this is this is absolutely delicious and really a great presentation if you're having company. That's why I like to do a lot of my slow cooker desserts in pans or in a souffle dish.
Now, you talk a lot about the insert in this book. Now, is the insert just the word for the tub that sits in there that you can wash out? Okay, so there's no other special piece of equipment or a rack or anything that you need?
Well, in some cases, I like to use a rack so that way you get better heat distribution. But a rack is nothing. I mean, you can buy one for a couple of bucks on the internet. They're very inexpensive. Or you could just make a rack for out of aluminum foil by crushing it into a ring. And then you put that into your slow cooker. And that works as a rack to hold your dish above the bottom of the pan.
Now, why would you want your dish above the bottom of the pan?
Well, in some cases, if you're not using the water bath, you'll get better heat distribution if you have the cake, for example, sitting on a rack.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, another recipe, before we go to break, that looks just luscious, is this farmer's vegetable cream soup. Now, this is a mm-hmm. recipe from France, and it just is, it looks kind of like a refrigerator soup that you're going through, you're rifling through for whatever veggies you've got in there, and you're making a soup from it. And this is, again, done in the slow cooker. How does this one work?
Well, it's a very easy one. And, you know, the thing that people forget about French cooking is that French people are just like us. I mean, they're sometimes scrounging around in their refrigerator looking for something to make for dinner, or finding they have too many vegetables. And like, for example, this farmer might have been have an abundance of vegetables left from the harvest, and so put together this lovely simple soup. And it's just a matter of sautéing some leeks, and if you don't have leeks, you could always just use some onions, and put them into the when they're nice and soft, you put them into the slow cooker, and then I add a bunch of vegetables. And really, you can adapt this to whatever you have. I've got carrots, I've got potatoes, and a turnip, and zucchini. And then I add chicken broth, or if you want to make it a vegetarian dish, you can use vegetable broth. You can use your own homemade, which would be lovely, lovely. Or you can use store-bought for convenience. And I usually cut the broth with water, so you don't get too much of a brothy flavor, and the flavor of the vegetables comes through.
Mm.
And you just cook that until the potatoes and the carrots are nice and tender. With a soup, you don't worry too much about your vegetables having any kind of firm texture. It's fine if they're nice and soft and crushable even. And then at the very end, I stir in a little bit of half and half cream and my seasoning, salt and pepper, of course, and sprinkle it with some fresh herbs if you have them. I know even in my area in the Northeast, I can keep some chives and a few other herbs going out on my windowsill. And so I've always got something to sprinkle on the vegetables. And I even keep basil in the freezer just for desperation measures. And whatever herbs you have will just give it a little freshness and great color. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely, simple soup, and you can make it with anything you've got.
Yeah, it's like a perfect winter soup.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find, I think that one is on our Facebook page. Anyway, there's lots of them up there now if you're got your mouth watering and wanting to try some of this tonight. As we talk this hour with Michelle Chicolone, she's an award-winning food writer and the author of The Mediterranean Slow Cooker, which is out this week. She's also done versions of that book for France and Italy as well. Today we're talking the Mediterranean one mostly, but we're open to all of your slow cooker questions this hour. Michelle is known as the slow cooker queen, so you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up at 11 o'clock today, join Judith Sears-Poisson. She's in for Larry Mueller. And Judith will be finding out what plant diseases were a big problem in 2012 and how we might avoid them in 2013, plus what lasting effects the drought might have had on our yards and our gardens. That's 11 o'clock's Garden Talk with Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Larry Mueller. I'm Veronica Rickert with you today on the Ideas Network as we talk with Michelle Chicolone, who is the award-winning writer, food writer, and her latest book is called The Mediterranean Slow Cooker, and it's just out this week. And we take our first caller now. We've got Elizabeth joining us from Madison. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got a wonderful crock pot or a slow cooker, a nice deluxe one for Christmas, and so now I'm just getting into it. And I'm wondering, like, if you want to make up your own recipes, what are some guidelines to follow for making your own recipes? I mean, can I just throw a bunch of root vegetables in there? Do I need to put some kind of liquid? Can I cook broccoli in there, or is that too soft, not the right kind of thing? And also, I know you're not supposed to open the lid when you're cooking, but if you do, if you want to check on it, especially if you're making up a recipe, how much time are you losing when you're doing that?
Well, that's quite a list of questions. Where
yes,
do I
I'm
begin?
A newbie.
Well, I would say that the vegetables, let's start with the last question first. I wouldn't necessarily put broccoli in because it's going to lose a lot of color. You know, it also depends on how you're using it. For example, if you had made a big pot of soup and you wanted to add some broccoli to it, you might add the broccoli like just for the last half hour or so, so that it doesn't get overcooked and unpleasant, you know, the way broccoli can get kind of turn gray and all that. That might work, but I wouldn't necessarily put broccoli in at the start because it's going to lose its color. And, for example, cabbage is one. I haven't tried broccoli, but cabbage is one vegetable that I tend to steer away from because I had a couple of really unpleasant experiences putting I thought it would be perfect for a slow cooker, but I really didn't like the results. Huh. So I'm a little wary of some of those sulfuric vegetables in the slow cooker, though I have had great success with cauliflower. I think cauliflower turns out delicious in the slow cooker. So, you know, it's trial and error. I would stick with the root vegetables. I would take a look at some popular recipes, you know, either in cookbooks or on the web, you know, whatever, for slow cookers. And start with those sorts of vegetables before you get into more delicate vegetables like broccoli that can cook very quickly anyway. Then what else was your question about? Oh, about peaking as you cook. You know, that's a rule, and it's true that your slow cooker will lose some of the heat as you open the cover. You know, it doesn't make that big a difference. That's why I always look for a slow cooker that has a glass top, and that helps me to not have to look inside all the time by opening it.
But it's so much more fun to look inside.
I know. But, you know, this is a different kind of cooking. If you can't resist, then maybe you're better off doing it on the stovetop because that is a much easier to handle. But if you do open your slow cooker, then you probably should think about adding 20 minutes or so for every time that you've peeked inside.
Wow, you're kidding. 20 yeah. minutes? No wonder my beans took so long.
Yeah, that's the rule of thumb on cooking. You know, that's why I really like to use my slow cooker when I'm not going to be home because then I'm not even tempted to. I don't even have the opportunity to take a peek.
I had no idea. Okay, 20 minutes.
20 minutes for each peak is the rule of thumb that the manufacturers give. And it depends on the dish and it depends on your slow cooker and it depends on the time of the you know, the heat level that you're cooking at. So I would just – you have to use your own judgment as far as that's concerned, but try not to. And then you were asking about how to adapt recipes, standard stovetop recipes, to the slow cooker. Well, in general, slow cookers don't release steam as they cook. The moisture from chicken or whatever you're cooking does not escape. So you're going to generally wind up with a soupier result in the pot. So if you're cooking, let's say, a chicken that you normally would stew that you normally would add 2 cups of liquid to for that braising time on top of the stove, then I would cut it back to about, I don't know, 1 cup of liquid, about half as much as you normally would use, and see if that does the trick. But again, it depends on your ingredients. But you will probably find that you need less liquid than for a standard stovetop recipe. Another thing that I would keep in mind about slow cookers is that some flavors become very intense while others fade in the slow cooker. So if you're using fresh herbs, let's say if you're making a tomato sauce and it has fresh basil in it, you might find that the fresh basil, if you put it in at the beginning, the flavor has faded at the end of the cooking time when the sauce is ready. So I always recommend to people that if they're using fresh herbs to stir them in to taste and stir a little bit more in at the end to, you know, zip up the flavor if the herb flavor has faded. And on the other hand, if you're using dried herbs, they tend to become stronger in the slow cooker. So I would, again, use a minimal amount of the dried herb, let's say thyme. Thyme is notorious for becoming more potent as it cooks in the slow cooker.
Interesting.
And so I would use just a little bit at the beginning, and then at the end, maybe the last half hour or so, take a peek and stir in a little bit more of the dried thyme, if that's what you're using, and to bring out the flavor if you want more of its more of it to be apparent. I think those are some of the tips.
Those are great.
I'm glad that helps.
Elizabeth, excellent, and I wish you good luck. I think you've got some good basics to get going there. And remember, 20 minutes per peak, so it's not for the weak-willed. Okay, we'll go on to Jim joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I was just wondering how the nutrition value of your food is after you cook it for so long.
Hi, Jim. I think that the nutrition value, for example, if we're talking about the nutrition value of a piece of beef that you're stewing, the nutrition value would be the same whether you cooked it on the stovetop or in the slow cooker. But what is probably more fragile are some of the vitamins in, let's say, the vitamin C, I know is very delicate. You could always compensate by serving your dish with a salad, for example, with some sliced oranges in it, if you felt that you're concerned about getting enough of your vitamins. But some of the vitamins are delicate in fresh vegetables and fruits. And so I would always like to add those toward the end of the cooking time or serve it as a side dish to make sure you're supporting it. But the basic stuff that you would get in the protein, the fat, the carbohydrates, they're going to do just fine in the slow cooker.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the question, Jim. And here's one from Facebook. Jeanette posted this. I bought a 1-quart slow cooker and got tired of having to use all the math to get the bigger recipes down to smaller recipes. Any questions? It's hard, apparently, to downsize these bigger recipes.
Yeah, it really is. And a 1-quart doesn't really hold very much. And I always recommend, even for single people who are cooking just for one, to get a large slow cooker. It's much more versatile. You'll find many recipes that you can do and then have meals for later in the week or put it in the freezer or share with friends. It just makes life much simpler, and it's much more practical to buy a package of chicken and cook the entire package of chicken and have enough for a meal later in the week or adapt to make, for example, you could do a whole chicken and then make chicken salad for lunch one day and put some in the freezer for another day to come, have a second meal made with a different kind of sauce on it, and be creative with the leftovers.
Okay, well, good luck to you. And let's go to, Linda, who's joining us next from Iron Belt. Hi, Linda.
Hi. My question, I don't know, she kind of answered a little bit of it, but I would like to know if it's possible to make old-fashioned sweet-sour cabbage in a slow cooker.
Well, I would give it a try, Linda. I've not had great success with cabbage, as I said, but I had used a green cabbage, and maybe it wasn't in the best shape when I tried it, and I tried it a second time with green cabbage. I didn't like the result. I have seen other recipes that other people have done that they recommend very highly, so perhaps it's just my taste, but I wasn't happy with it. Give it a try. It's not a great expense, and it might work for you.
Play a little with your slow cooker.
Yes.
And good luck to you, Linda. And one other thing about those smaller crock pots, and I know they make really tiny ones that are intended for dips. Could you use it for something like that, though, where you're hosting a party and you just have a small amount of appetizer?
Oh, yeah. I think that really is where those small cookers come into their own as a dip or as to hold a sauce. For example, if you're having a buffet, you could put some tomato sauce in your smaller slow cooker and keep it hot that way. There are ways to use it. You cannot use them for reheating food, so I certainly don't recommend that because they don't heat the food up quickly enough. So if you have food that you want to reheat and then put into the slow cooker, that's fine too. Let's say if it was a tomato sauce or a meat sauce and you're serving a pasta casserole, I'm thinking that would work just fine.
Okay, well, maybe that'll help. And another phone call now. We go to Jeff, who's joining us from Dorchester. I think that's Iowa. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, it is. God's country, Dorchester, Iowa.
Wonderful.
Good morning. Just a quick suggestion. My wife and I do a little CSA here, and we feature foraged foods in the springtime. And we have come up with a savory crockpot bread pudding.
Ooh.
That we do with nettles and wild onions and morel mushrooms.
Oh, that sounds
great. My goodness,
that
sounds great. You know, I actually have a savory bread pudding in the book, but it's much more standard. Let's see. I have a mozzarella, sausage, and sun-dried tomato bread pudding,
which sounds good, too.
Yeah, and you could even stir in some of those foraged vegetables, if you like, instead of some of the ingredients that I've used. But that's a wonderful use for your slow cooker, any kind of a sweet or savory bread pudding. And it's a delicious and practical dish for leftovers or for brunch. You know, it's great.
So, Jeff, do you use, like a souffle dish or something for your bread pudding so it comes out table ready to serve, or do you just plop it all in there in the insert?
I spray the liner, the cooking insert, with a little vegetable spray, and I just put it all in there together. I let it sit overnight, and we get up in the morning, and we've got a really nice breakfast dish. I'm experimenting a little bit too with adding a little bit more egg custard to it to make it more of a casserole than a bread pudding.
A little more eggy.
The drawback is at about 4 o'clock in the morning, you're up and awake because the house smells so good.
I've had that problem, too.
Not too much of a drawback, though, as drawbacks go.
No, it's not a bad one.
All right.
I do exactly the same thing. I cook my bread pudding directly into the in the dish and then just scoop it out to serve it.
Sounds great. Well, thank you, Jeff. That's a great idea. And as you said, Michelle, you do have a couple of those bread pudding recipes in your cookbooks. And talking about eggs, so that was one that I was surprised to see you do so much of in a slow cooker. There's one recipe, the first one I'm going to try in here is, I think it's a spicy tomato sauce with poached eggs. That sounds delicious to me. Can you tell us about that Israeli dish?
Yeah, I first had it in Israel. I was traveling in the Middle East, and I had this. I found this wherever I went, and it varied from place to place, but it was always delicious. And it is made with onions and peppers and garlic and a little bit of chili. So I used, I'm not sure what they would have used in the Middle East, but I used some jalapeno, which we can all find, some canned tomatoes. I use both whole tomatoes and crushed tomatoes, so it's saucy and chunky at the same time. And then I put in some paprika, some Spanish smoked paprika. It gives a little smoky flavor. And turmeric. Now, turmeric is not that familiar a spice, but it's in the same family as ginger. So if you don't have turmeric, you might have ginger, and you can substitute that instead. But turmeric is a very healthful spice, I'm told, and it's very good for blood pressure and stuff like that. So you might want to look into it. And a tiny bit of sugar just to sweeten the flavors of that sauce. And that just cooks and cooks for a couple of hours until the vegetables are tender and it's nice and saucy. And then I take some eggs and I break them into a cup and I poach them right on top of the sauce in the slow cooker. And this is a great technique, you know, for if you're doing a brunch or for supper, you don't want to take out another pot or pan. You just poach the eggs right on top of the sauce. and you get this, the eggs will be done in just about 10 minutes, depending on how well done you like them. And in Israel, they sprinkle this with za'atar, which is a blend of herbs. And I give the recipe in the book. It's a combination of different herbs. Or you could use just a little bit of whatever herb you have, a Provençal spice mix or an Italian seasoning herb mix would be nice, too. And then you just serve that up hot with some pita bread would be delicious, or any kind of warm bread. And it's a lovely supper dish.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. And I love that you use smoked paprika, which is my new favorite spice. I'm trying to put it on everything.
Yeah, I use it quite a lot myself. It's not too hot. Well, there are hot and sweet versions. But I like the not too hot version myself.
Right.
I find it very useful. Yeah.
Well, our guest this hour is Michelle Chicolone, an award-winning food writer, author of 17 cookbooks, the latest of which is called The Mediterranean Slow Cooker, which is out this week, and we're talking about that one today. And also all of your slow cooker questions in general. As we've seen, slow cooking has witnessed a surge in popularity again, so people are getting the hang of it, learning it all over again. And if you've got questions about how it's done, you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And don't forget, you can find a bunch of Michelle's recipes up on our Facebook page at The Veronica Rickard Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickard back with you today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk slow cooking with our guest, the slow cooker queen, Michelle Chicolone. She has a new book out. It's called The Mediterranean Slow Cooker. And one area we haven't talked about is baking in a slow cooker. And I think we've got a caller here who might be able to speak to that. Ben joins us from Oconomowoc. Hi, Ben.
Hello. I guess I'm a bit of a tinkerer, and I bring that into the kitchen, too. My wife does most of the cooking. I do most of the baking. But I found that crock pots are really pretty neat machines you can do a lot with. I actually had to look when the show came on. I have 5 crock pots.
Wow.
I do use them all. probably the biggest one gets the least use, but they're all pretty wonderful. And one thing I did was I kind of experimented around, and I actually developed a recipe for baking bread in a crock pot.
Excellent.
So it turns out pretty good, and it's a lot of fun. And I've also done some work with yogurt, and the next thing I'd really like to do is sous vide, which is another style of slow cooking. Works really well for steaks, and I want to start playing around with it, see if I can maybe do some of those in a crock pot. So I was wondering if in the guest book, if she has any more unusual recipes in there, or if she's heard of other really kind of fun, interesting things done with crock pots.
Well, interesting things. I think making, if you've ever tried French confit, you could do a confit of pork. I've done that in the slow cooker. I think that's a little unusual and absolutely delicious. I have a recipe in my book, The French Slow Cooker, not in the one we're talking about today, the Mediterranean Slow Cooker. That is a use. I think what you're doing is brilliant, Ben. I love the idea of people taking a chance and adapting recipes and finding new ways to cook that works for them. And that's a lot of fun. And you've got to take a chance. It's true. And sometimes things are successful and sometimes not. But that's all terrific. Now, I don't know that I get that far off the beaten track. I've made a number of wonderful cakes in the slow cooker. And they sort of come out like steamed. A Christmas pudding is a steamed cake, basically.
Oh, so
and
good.
I've done several of them. And there are two of them. In this book, there's a beautiful, beautiful orange cake, excuse me, and it's made with, you can use a combination of semolina or farina, it's the same thing, just the regular breakfast type stuff, and it has flour as well, and butter and eggs and baking powder, and you know, it's all standard ingredients, but it makes a beautiful orange-flavored cake, and then you pour an orange syrup on it, and it's very, very lovely, and it is a cake, but it doesn't have that crusty outer crust that cakes typically have. I've done a lot of wonderful flourless chocolate cakes in the slow cooker.
The Queen of Sheba. Now that looks like a cake.
Yes, yes. That was sensational. And that
flourless
was a classic.
Chocolate, yeah.
Yeah, that was a classic. And now that was in my French slow cooker book also. But now in the Mediterranean slow cooker, I've done a Spanish-style black cocoa cake. And it has a wonderful, deep, deep, rich chocolate flavor. But there's no chocolate. It's just cocoa and butter and eggs and sugar and almonds. And it's absolutely delicious and very, very simple to do. And, again, it has a soft pudding-like texture but makes a beautiful cake and a beautiful presentation. So I'd say the cakes are the most and the flans are the most unusual thing that I've done in the slow cooker. I have a wonderful coconut flan made with coconut milk, rather cream of coconut and evaporated milk. And that's quite easy to do and not something that people expect to find in their slow cooker.
Well, thank you so much, Ben. And also thank you for posting your recipe for your bread on our Facebook page.
I'd love to see that.
So that's something worth checking out. I'm curious to see if people make it. Let us know how Ben's bread in the crock pot turns out. Thanks a lot, Ben. And we go next to Judy, who is joining us from a word I can't read because of my computer screen, Boaz. Hi, Judy.
Hi, it's Boaz, Wisconsin.
Boaz, Wisconsin. There you go.
We're
thank you.
For a few years now, I've been doing yogurt in my smaller crock pot. And it's just a matter of heating it up, adding your starter initially of your Greek yogurt or whatever you choose, and then just save a little bit out for your next batch. And it's so economical. And it works out beautifully every time. I've tried it different ways, you know, even with yogurt makers, but not as well as it's turned out in the crock pot every time. So I wanted to tell you that you can find it's not even my own recipe because it's so simple. It's just a matter of timing and heating it up and then wrapping it in a big beach towel and letting it cool slowly, and you just get the best yogurt.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds great. And it's like the Greek yogurt, nice and thick like that?
Yeah, well, sometimes it depends the difference between using whole milk or skim milk.
I see.
You know, if you use a skim, you'll get more of a, the drinkable yogurt. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Kefir?
Kefir. Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. So it's still just delicious, and you can flavor it with anything you'd like or keep it plain. However, vanilla is simple, too. But it's very, very good, and by taking it up once it's finished and you put it in the refrigerator in mason jars I use, and then by refrigerating it for a good 8 hours, then it's thick and nice. Very good.
That's a great use for a small cooker. So for anyone who has one, that's I'd love to try that.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing, Judy. And before we go, Michelle, I want you to give one nice meaty recipe for people. And one that you sent us was this Portuguese pulled pork. Now, that looks pretty nice. And again, it's got smoked paprika, so I can't fault you there. Do you want to tell us about that one?
Okay. Let me just get to that page. This is a recipe that comes from Massachusetts, where they make this every year at an annual festival, and it's very simple to do. And you know, it would be great this time of year for sandwiches. You know, everyone's getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday, so this is something that you might want to try. And it's just 3 pounds of boneless pork shoulder that I use, and it's rolled and tied, and I brown the pork. And it takes about 20 minutes and on the stovetop. And then I put it in the slow cooker with salt and pepper, onions and garlic, and vinegar, and some crushed red pepper, you know, hot pepper, and paprika, cinnamon, water, and salt and pepper. And then you just cover that and cook it for about 8 to 10 hours until the meat is just falling apart and ready to be torn into shreds. And then you tear it up with two forks. It's very easy to do because it's so tender. And you can put it back into the slow cooker to keep it nice and warm. and in the juices that have been sitting there. And then you just serve that up and serve it with in a roll, a crispy roll with hot pickled peppers, the kind that you buy in the supermarket. And it's a fabulous, spicy, delicious sandwich. Mm. And everyone will love it.
Oh, that sounds delicious. And we will post that one for folks on the Facebook page. That one's not up yet, but it will be later today if you're looking for something, you know, kind of fun and meaty to do this weekend. And let's go next to Steve, who's joining us from Wausau. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Before my question, maybe I can help some other people that had other questions. I've got a Hamilton Beach slow cooker. I've had it for about 10 years. It's just one base, but it has three nesting pots, two, uh-huh. four, and six. So I don't need more than one, you know, base on the counter, and I can make anything I want. And it also has a glass lid with a small hole in it that you slip your thermometer in to see if the meat is, you know, is at 165. So that's. I heard a show on slow cooking where they took mini loaf pans. And they put them in the bottom so the meat wouldn't be down in the liquid.
Uh-huh.
And it was for smoking. And I'm wondering, does she have any, like, liquid recipes that actually would smoke the meat rather than, from the bottom?
Mm.
Interesting.
No, I haven't tried that technique. It sounds very interesting. And I think it's a perfect example of the many different ways that you can use your slow cooker if you're willing to experiment. But I haven't gotten to that yet. So it's something for me to try in the future, along with making my own yogurt.
Yeah, I'm going to try your flan. I think that's going to be really great. So.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is. That is a delicious recipe. There are several variations, too, that you might want to try as well.
That one looks great, Steve. Let us know how you like it. And we'll go next to Stephanie. Stephanie's joining us from New Berlin, Wisconsin. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. I have a question. I have a daughter who can't eat dairy. And I see all these crock pot recipes, and they're made with cream of mushroom soup, cream of chicken soup. So I was wondering how I could make crock pot recipes and get the same result without having to use that soup and substitute the soy cream.
Well, I don't use any canned soups in my recipes because I feel that if you rely on canned soups, all of your dishes are going to come out tasting like canned soup. And really, a lot of those canned products are not the most healthful. They have a lot of artificial ingredients and preservatives. You know, I don't know specific brands, one from the other, but it's not something that I use in my cooking at all. And I've gotten some very, very good results with my soups. Now, you say you don't want to use a soy milk product?
Or, no, I do use the soy milk products.
Well, then I would say, for example, we talked earlier about that lovely, simple farmer's soup that has some half and half. Instead of using half and half, there is no canned soup involved at all. And instead of using half and half, you can just use some soy milk or almond milk or, you know, whatever substitutes is acceptable to your daughter and have a wonderful result. But take a look at the recipes on the station's Facebook page, and you'll see that none of them contain any kind of canned soup product other than broth or something if you want to use it.
What about doing something like, I don't know if this would work or not, pureed cauliflower or pureed potato that would add that sort of white, creamy look and texture, but it's not going to have dairy.
Yeah, you certainly could do that. And there are a number of soups that even have rice, pureed rice, added to the chicken broth base or whatever vegetable broth base, whatever the base is. And that also gives you a creamy result. Bean soups, if you mash them, you'll get a nice creamy result from and a thickening effect from the beans. So there are a lot of other ways that you can go if you want to avoid using those soup products.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that call, Stephanie, and good luck with that. And we're getting close to the end of the hour here. Michelle, do you want to share one last favorite recipe with us? We've got about a minute left.
Oh, boy, in a minute, what should I recommend? You know what's a fun dish? And someone asked earlier about dishes that are unusual. And I was thinking about how all of the food that comes out of the slow cooker tends to be kind of soft. So I came up with a crunchy chicken dish that I think is absolutely delicious. And it's very simple. I take some Dijon mustard, shallots or scallions, a little bit of dried thyme, salt and cayenne, and I spread that over some chicken thighs and skinless chicken thighs. And I put that in the slow cooker. And it cooks and it takes about 4 to 6 hours until the chicken is really nice and tender. And then when I take it out of the pot, I put on some breadcrumbs that I've sautéed in butter so they're nice and crunchy. And I spread that on the mustardy chicken. And so I've got sort of a crock-pot fried chicken effect going on there. And I highly recommend it. It's great
some
for
crunch,
party.
Some crunch even out of a crock-pot. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delicious hour.
Thank you. I'm delighted to talk to you today, Veronica.
Michelle Chicalone, our guest this hour. She is the author of The Mediterranean Slow Cooker, which is out this week. Thanks to Marika Suval for producing that one and taking your phone calls, and Rhonda Fanning for her technical direction today as well. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.